What did you say? You look like a hunchback.
So I got to hunch down before my top of my head hits the frame or what?
Mate, you just don't sit up straight. You look
I was taught to sit up straight, mate.
You were taught to, but you don't.
Straight back.
All right?
So is that, just relax. Is that why you got to, you like to set your posture?
I just don't care.
Okay.
Do you?
I do care about my posture.
I've not had comments about my posture.
Stand up straight, you know?
And if you send me comments about my posture, expect violence in return.
Trevor's new nickname.
I'll be honest.
The hunchback.
I have to declare. There was some.
Declare what?
There was some verbal violence today in my day.
What?
I was.
That's not like you, Trev.
I was driving into an underground car park, you know, like a city building, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's only two lanes, one in, one out. So I'm driving in and there's a big van. Big delivery van style looking thing at the gate talking to security, I assume, trying to get in the same way that I've got to push a button and tell them who I am to get in because it's a secure building.
Right.
And so I'm waiting there. And then the van, and it's busy. It's in the morning. There's people getting coffees. It's all happening, right? I'm basically parked on the footpath, but it's a clear driveway. It's no issue.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm off the road, but I'm on the driveway and there's people everywhere getting coffees. This guy hits reverse. Oy. And I'm like, hey, whoa, hey, okay. So I hit reverse and I'm starting looking around, like, can I get out of here slowly? And he is inching back, like, not like I'm in panic mode. Now I'm like, whoa. So I look again, I There's try to go back a bit.
And everything.
And he's still reversing, like, a beep. I'm like, beep. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I even went down my window and go, whoa. And then I look back, he's still reversing. So I have to reverse and, like, hopefully no one around. And I swing into the next lane, like into the out lane.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And I'm like, okay. So then he backs back and I'm like, mate, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And he starts, you know, yelling. And I'm like, okay, mate, window's down. Let's go.
Road rage.
So I wind down the window and say, mate, what are you doing? Just go. He goes, I'm trying to get in. I went, well, you're going backwards. You're going to hit me.
Yeah. Did you see her?
He goes, you were beeping at me. I said, because you were still coming back. I didn't want you to hit me. And then all these, like, three guys come up from the basement, like the security, you know, people that push the gates open.
Yeah.
Coming up. And they open the gate and they wave him in. And I think, oh, this is good. Now I'm going to have to go down here with the same bike. This is not good.
Yeah.
Anyway, it turns out they sent him in to turn around because you can turn around down there. They're thinking, best way to resolve this, let him in, turn around.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, he's gone now. I'll deal with whether or not I need to park to him. Anyway, so I go up to security. I say, I'm here. My name's on the gate. Look, I'm allowed in.
Yeah.
They open the gate and he's turning. Then I realize he's turning around. So he comes back up.
Yeah.
And he points at me with a gun.
What?
And, like, with his fingers, you know, in a gun format. And, like, as if to shoot me. And I went in the window and I said,
what,
mate,
the hell?
Lucky this isn't the private feed, but because I would I would recall exactly what happened. But I said, mate, what are you doing? And I said, mate, he goes, you were beeping at me. I said, mate, you were going to hit me.
Yeah.
I said, mate, and don't be an idiot and point a finger gun at someone. You're being a goose. And I called him a couple of names. Let's be real. And he goes, you're just abusing a serviceman. He was wearing, like, camouflage jumper. Like, it didn't look like a service uniform to me. But even if you're representing our armed forces, sir, you're a disgrace.
Did he not recognise who you were, mate?
No.
Did he say, aren't you Trevor Long from the Today Show?
Then he drove out and I thought, I wonder whose side these three, like, security guards and everything are on. So I go down, the window's still down, and they've witnessed both these encounters.
Right.
So they're standing there and they're just, like, waving me through. And one of them I looked at and he goes, what an idiot. And I said, can we call the cops on that goose? He goes, oh, I wish. And I went, yes, they're on my side. Let's go.
Yeah.
And then I parked and it was all good. But it was not a great start to my morning. But
What were you driving?
My Cupra, too. That's,
oh,
that
my God.
That's what made it even worse. Not that I don't value press cars greatly, but if you hit a press car, I would have lost my tree.
You drove your own car today, did you? Oh, you're supposed to drive the car, Steve, I was told not long ago.
I'll tell you exactly why. Because I arranged parking, and they said, what's your rego? And I was in bed at this point. I said, just put EFTM. Remember. Like, I don't remember what the rego of the car I'm in is.
I'll let you
off. So I just put EFTM, and I drove that car.
Because we have another podcast called Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, and we get cars to drive every week. And when Trevor sees me turn up in my car, he goes, oh, you're supposed to drive the cars. And I turned up today. I drive to the country every week in these cars.
Yeah.
So it's all good.
Yeah, I booked the cars for a week. We're meant to share them. He's keeping the Mercedes-Benz for the whole week.
Well, there you go. You know,
funny
can
that.
Can I just say, you're not used to Mercedes-Benz, mate. You know, it's like.
That's the whole point of test driving.
You're not used to it. I'm used to it. So
that's the whole point of test driving. It's fine. I'll speak to Jerry and I'll get one for myself for a week.
You'll be right, mate.
No, I actually, Let's just have meetings in public. But I had a I had a meeting with BMW this week and discussed a few things
about what we were doing. Show, are they?
And no, we're just talking about the year and what's coming up. And I said, but when I'm booking cars now, they're going to be 2 weeks at a time because Stephen keeps stealing cars off me.
Two weeks. Yeah, you need 2 weeks. 1 week's not enough.
No, I understand that. But remember, the plan. The plan was. And is to get through as many as we can early. So the whole the reason we've got two cars a week right now and swapping regularly is because we want to we're 8 weeks into an EV show. We want to have driven as many as we can, as quick as we can.
And we have.
And we will. And by end of June, we'll have driven a stack of cars.
Every possible EV you can buy.
And we'll get through more as the weeks go on, and we'll drive them for longer and different things. But you know,
that's
right
great.
Now, that's
great. Nice little plug for the other show.
Well done. Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars, thanks to NRMA Insurance and Unit N Dash Cams. You can find it now in this podcast feed.
Yes. When is that? Mondays. Mondays comes out.
Mondays 5 a.m. when I remember.
Yeah. So it comes out in the EV feed as well as
exact
Two Blokes
time.
Feed. So, yeah.
Same time.
Bonus.
Bonus. And, look, I'm happy to say it's our number two show here on the Two Blokes feed.
It's going well.
It's going very well.
Number two after Two Blokes.
Number two after Two Blokes. Right. It'd be pretty weird if it became number one.
Tech Guide third.
It's not third, no.
Right.
Private's third.
Of course, yeah. Fourth then. Fourth.
That's not we're only celebrating the top three. Okay.
It's like the Olympics. If you don't if you're not on the podium.
No one remembers
nothing.
Frankly, no one remembers who came third.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Do they? Can you name many bronze medalists?
If Stephen Bradbury came third, if they were Australians, I would. I'm just trying to think. There'd be a few
exactly.
that got bronze.
Well done to them.
Yeah.
But we don't remember you.
Yeah, I think what was the there was.
Can
a really
you imagine if there's an Olympic medalist watching this?
Seinfeld did a good bit about silver medalists. He goes, "The silver medalist." He goes, "You are the best of the losers." Do you remember that bit?
Yeah, I do.
So being a silver medalist is not really good.
I just had this really weird thought that there's like an Olympian who subscribes to this and they're listening.
Do you reckon? And they're a bronze medalist.
Imagine if they're a
if
bronze
you're a bronze medalist.
Medalist,
we'd like to hear from you. And that was Trevor's train of thought, not mine. So Trevor's the one who's just. Was the one bagging you.
Let me give you this. If you're a bronze medalist, frankly, if you're an Olympian.
Good luck to you.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thank you for your contribution to the sporting community. But if you're an Olympian and you drive an electric car, would we love to have you,
on
Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars?
Because unlike this show, we have guests on Two Blokes Talking EVs to electric cars.
There's no pre-show on the other one as well.
Yeah, there is no pre-show.
It's also 30 minutes.
Yeah, short and sharp.
Short and sharp.
But unlike Two Blokes
Talking. Can't be said about this rubbish.
Yeah. We do have guests. And all kinds of guests. And I'm surprised the number of people who want to be on the show. We get emails. How many people want to be on the show to talk
that's
to?
Funny.
I think they want to be on to talk to us. They want to be on the show, but I think, do you reckon, I think they get a bit of a kick talking to us, you know, because they hear us on Two Blokes Talking Tech and they only hear us, they don't talk to us.
You're talking about the punters or
the punters.
Okay, right. Absolutely.
The people who ring, who want to be on the show.
Yeah.
You know, they want to tell their story, EV story, but I think that it's as enjoyable for them talking
to
us.
Set up a hotline.
They don't get a chance to talk to us normally under normal circumstances.
We could set up a hotline that's just a mobile number that you could text and get on.
It's like
that might make it
Rob
easier.
Rob Lowe has that. I listen to his podcast literally, and he's got the lowdown line.
Right.
And he actually puts a phone number, and the call at the end, it's like the people leave a message, and that's what he has on the lowdown.
I'm trying to remember whether or not. Just great content. And we will get to the Two Blokes Talking.
Yeah, what show is this again?
Whatever we're doing right now.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember whether I have, because I thought I'd set this phone never to ring, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm
what
not.
What are you doing?
I'm not.
What have you got in your hand there?
I've got two phones.
Yeah.
And I can't see because I've got my glasses on the desk. But I've got my phone and I'm going to ring my DeGero phone, which I'm
why
pretty sure
doing,
I've set
why
never
doing,
to ring. Like I.
Okay.
No, it does. It's ringing.
Okay.
So I'm not giving out that number. No, that's not happening.
So the hotline, no.
Yeah. No, we'll set one up. That's easy. We've got phones. I'll set up a phone. I actually think that's we should talk about this on Two Blokes Talking Electric Cars.
Yeah.
But I think
hotline.
Send us your feedback weirdly via social media or by contacting us, techguide.com.au.
I invented an app that allowed you to do that.
I understand that, but no, that's not what I want. I want people to contact us. I don't want to have to play. I argued this with you about voice bite and radio. I want to talk to them. I don't want to hear their message.
Yeah. Well, it's one way of getting a lot of content in a hurry.
What I'm saying is,
yeah,
if we set up a single number that you could text us on, really, I don't want to get just general gibber on it because we can get that on social media. It's more engaging there. But if you want to be on the EV show, it's probably easier to say, here's the phone number. Text us.
Yeah,
and we'll get you on. I'm saying?
I think it's working fine as it is, actually.
No, I'm going to set it up.
There's going to be... we get enough emails, and it's on social media. People get through to us. That's... They've got to know us well enough to know how to get through to
us. You wait until the number of people that email you, social media you, and say, yep, set up the SMS.
Okay.
Guarantee it.
We'll see.
Guarantee it. All right.
Let us know.
That's enough. Absolute rubbish.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fennec from techguide.com.au.
What do I say in the intro? You say very handy device.
Nice, not a bad price.
Not a bad price.
Not a bad price.
Not a bad price.
And I say a really handy device.
Not a bad price. Two Blokes Talking Tech, episode 625.
625.
625. Thanks to the great people at Netgear and Arlo. And as always, we'll tell you about them shortly for your home networking needs. If you've got a great broadband connection, no point. If you don't have great Wi-Fi, and if you're worried about keeping an eye on things around your home, Arlo have you covered. Now, we could probably just replay an episode from, I don't know, 6 months ago or something.
Is it about that time? I think it's every 6 months this story comes. I reckon every 4 or 5 months comes up.
When U.S. Congress... So, well, let's be clear. The last time we talked about TikTok in America was when they had the congressional hearings. And I assume, if it's anything like the way politics should work, it's they have the hearings, they form views, and then they pass legislation. So the U.S. House, which is like us, it's below the Senate, has passed a bill... by an overwhelming majority, so it's essentially bipartisan, to ban TikTok if it is under ownership of a Chinese company. Yeah. They call it an adversarial nation, so it's pretty strong language to say if this app, and it's all broad, it doesn't mention TikTok, but it doesn't apply to any other app at all, but it basically says if an app is owned by a company in an adversarial country, it should be banned. Yeah. And that is essentially asking ByteDance, the owners, to sell the company or the app to an American company. The big twist here for me was, oh, this is interesting. It is bipartisan.
It's going to be bought by Meta.
Because Trump wanted to sell it. Remember when Trump was in power?
Yep.
He had Oracle and Microsoft circling for it. And it was almost going to happen. It was really close.
Yep.
And then it didn't happen. But this time around, two things. ByteDance and the Chinese government have said, we're not going to force anyone to sell anything.
Yep.
And Trump has said he disagrees with this. So Trump now thinks TikTok can stay as it is.
Oh, you mean when he was president, he wanted this to happen.
He wanted Microsoft, it sold. Yep.
But now he's happy
now
for it to stay.
He doesn't give a rat's
because he doesn't want to be seen to be agreeing with the current government.
I don't know if it's he's got a new opinion on it. But
in the Fair Dinkum Department, what are the chances of that happening? ByteDance selling to it'd be a massive offer, wouldn't it?
I just don't think what are they worth?
You reckon? What would like be billions of dollars? Wouldn't it?
You know.
$10 billion.
It's $10 billion at least.
Right.
For sure.
US dollars.
Yeah.
And why would they sell it? They'd be tempted by that? So ByteDance...
You know, you could be a conspiracy. You could be a conspiracy theorist and so they don't want to sell it because they want the data.
That's way more valuable. But how would that work? Like they're based in China.
No, they're not.
Oh, so they're not.
TikTok is based in Singapore.
Singapore, okay. But they're a Chinese company.
They're owned.
Company, right.
They're owned by... Right. A Chinese company, but TikTok operates independently.
Okay,
of
where they operate from, and the owners though are in China.
Yes,
so it's not like I imagine China's not the sort of country where you can just up and leave really easily, being a communist country.
No,
so there'd be a little bit of red tape to get through for this to happen.
I don't think so. Actually, no. I think because ByteDance is simply an owner of a Singaporean business. So TikTok is a Singaporean company.
Right.
Their CEO is Singaporean. They've got data centers in
just
the US
owned by
and Singapore.
ByteDance, who has
They're just
a Chinese
owned by a
company.
Chinese company, right?
Right.
And let's be clear. ByteDance created it and then created a sub-company to be in Singapore so that they could have this arm's length difference.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of people go, well, TikTok's censored in China. TikTok's not available in China because in China it's a different app called Dayu or something, which is exactly the same. Like it looks exactly the same. And that's operated by ByteDance.
Right.
So ByteDance in
China...
So they've
got a Chinese version of
a Chinese version of this same app.
Right.
But if you search for Tiananmen Square Massacre... no results found. You know, people say there's censorship on TikTok. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Compared to what there is in China. So, look, in answer to your question, there's no way, just for political gain, there's no way China's going to let ByteDance sell it.
Right. That's what I'm thinking. It's a bit hard
that's my view.
Hard to just up and leave. Yeah. Even if they got offered $20 billion, they're thinking,
I mean, I guess it is a lot of money and potentially if this passes, because remember, it's got to pass the Senate.
Yeah.
Biden said he will sign off on it when it, if and when it passes the Senate.
Do you reckon Sleepy Joe knows what's going on with this one, mate?
I think.
He's all over it, you reckon?
I think his campaign is on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like, this is the hypocrisy of this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, there's a guy.
So he's actively campaigning on TikTok.
Yeah, his campaign, not the president, but the campaign.
The campaign, the Biden, is there, not him personally.
Harris campaign is on TikTok.
Yeah,
there's a senator, a congressman. I'm going to say Jeff Jackson. He's something Jackson. I think is his name. Who has been? I've actually really liked his content. Very refreshing. You know, he's new to Congress, so he's a new politician. He's been very honest about things he's seen, briefings he's had, where he can be. But then he voted against TikTok. He voted in favor of this bill. And he got absolutely hammered by everyone on the platform
TikTok.
Going, well done, you're promoting yourself, but then you're banning out. And he's had to come out and apologize for that. So the hypocrisy around it is pretty strong. It's pretty bloody strong. And I think that's the challenge here is, do they really want it banned? Because in America, there's 170 million users. That's half the country is on TikTok.
But they've already got a ban on government devices, but haven't they?
Yeah, just like we do, yeah.
Yeah, in Australia too, they have that.
Yeah.
But it'll never in a million years be banned here at all.
No, and even Albo said they would need much stronger evidence.
Yeah.
And they've seen nothing. And this is the whole thing, right? And I'm not going to go back to Huawei, but in the end here, this goes back to what is the evidence that there's anything doing. Now, I wrote in my article that we've got to be clear here. There was a time, I think it was 4 years ago or something, where some ByteDance employees accessed data from the network and determined the locations of journalists, right?
Yeah.
They were sacked and new things were put in place to fix, to make sure that doesn't happen again. But that stain sits on TikTok's chest. In the same way that when we say to people, you should go on Vodafone, they go, Vodafone? Man, that was 13
that was
years
a while
ago.
Back, yeah.
Like, are we kidding? We're still thinking about that?
Yeah.
But you see how it sticks.
Absolutely.
So I'm not excusing their issues of the past, but I see no evidence today
that
my data or others is being accessed, and therefore what is the risk?
So it's you talk about reputations. Like look at Meta, all the data breaches they've had.
Yeah.
Like, hello, like they're an American company, so they
was it Cambridge Analytica? Was that what it was called?
Yeah. So I think the fact that it's China is mainly the biggest problem.
Yeah. Right?
They're seen, as you said, an adversarial government. And if like in terms of the data though, what I remember having this conversation with Joe, and I like talking to her about stuff because she really cuts to the heart and simplifies
keep it simple,
stuff.
Yeah.
She says, what are they going to do with my data?
Yeah.
What would they do? I said, well, they'll know that maybe how old you are, where what country you live in, and that you like certain things. And her response was, so what?
Who cares?
Yeah. And I said, look, I know, but people are concerned that they're going to maybe build up these data banks of people and countries. And
so the other part of it outside of data is algorithm control.
Yeah.
So there's a concern, rightly, and it should be a discussion, we've said this before, about all platforms, around what information you are shown, what is promoted to you. So is the Chinese government able, this is the core of it, is the Chinese government able to, without paid promotion, to algorithmically train Australians to see more Clive Palmer content? I'll use that example because he's not running, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, are they able to influence the algorithm and the thinking of people, right?
Yes.
Now, I say, I had this conversation actually with Andrew Bolt last night on Sky News.
Yeah.
He was talking about the eSafety Commission here in Australia sending all emails to these companies saying you had to cut down on terrorism content and stuff. I said, listen, Andrew, I spend a lot of time scrolling through the internet and I've never stumbled across, you know, terrorism content or anything like that. So if we're worried about kids, let's talk about what they're searching for and what they're scrolling and how they're being parented. But, you know, if the problem with the algorithm exists with TikTok, then it also exists with X and Facebook and all
Meta,
these other platforms.
Google. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah.
Elon Musk was interviewed by Don Lemon this week, and it is an interesting interview to watch. It's an hour and a bit. And it's awkward as hell.
Is that Don Lemon, the dude who's
used to
now
be on CNN?
Is on X now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's on YouTube. I watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube.
Elon makes some interesting points about immigration stuff and make very, very valid things. But Don Lemon shows him some anti-Semitic material and shows this is on Twitter. And he says, why haven't you taken that down? And he goes, we're not promoting it. And so Elon's mind,
so
right?
So it's there, but Elon's the fact mind that it's there is not enough.
No one's seeing it because we're not putting it in the feed. Don Lemon's point is you should be deleting
it. It's there.
And Elon's point is it's free speech. They can say whatever they want as long as it's not illegal. As long as we don't promote it in the algorithm, then what are we doing, right?
But the, his point was that no one saw it because they didn't promote it.
Yeah.
So someone posted that and Twitter's algorithm would have said, okay, no one's going to see that, but
that's
still there.
Yes, but if you follow that person, search for that thing, you'll see it still exists.
And
Elon's got a point. That is a way of constricting free speech, at what point do we draw the line?
Where does it become hate speech, though? And Facebook, all the other platforms face this,
Problem.
That debate. Yeah.
And it comes back to, like, here's the thing. If ByteDance sells TikTok to an American company, then it's a win for American company, and it's a win for American small businesses and all those kind of things because they'll be able to keep using TikTok. But I wonder, will they lose the smarts that is TikTok? Like TikTok to me, and maybe it's the Chinese influence, have the best algorithm on the planet.
They do.
I tried for a few days just using Instagram.
Yep.
Scrolling through reels.
Yep.
And I'm going, I saw this 3 weeks ago, And then it's just brutal car crashes and clearly people dying. I'm like, this, you know
on
what?
On reels.
Yeah. This would not be allowed on TikTok.
Yeah, right.
I actually think TikTok is the best platform at moderating its content over and above any other. And
it's
I feel scrolling through going, this is unbelievable.
It nails the algorithm. There's a lot of stuff. I reckon 95% of what I'm shown, like the For You.
Yes.
Is spot on.
Yeah,
that I would want to see and want to engage with.
And now and then it throws one at you, and you're like, no. And then it goes. Oh, we didn't want that. We won't do that again.
Yeah,
like it's wild.
And it adapts quickly too. Once you stop doing something, like I was going through a period there where I was looking at a lot of like magicians and magic tricks and card tricks, and every second video was a card trick. And then I stopped. I scrolled quickly past them. And then it quickly adapted. And then,
I'll give you the other example. Yeah. That is Taylor Swift. During her time in Australia, I was Taylor Swift talk because I wanted to get Taylor into Swift it because of my daughter, and I just wanted to understand it. And it was amazing. I saw every single TikTok posted from the stadiums in Australia, right? But then when she left Australia, I don't give a rat's anymore.
Yeah.
I'd see one or two.
It died
I'd
out.
Swipe past them, and I don't see it anymore.
Yeah, it's pretty on the money.
It is unbelievable, and that alone is the value of the company. So.
Yeah, no other platforms like Instagram's got nothing like. They've got nowhere near that algorithm, the quality of that algorithm.
But that here's the thing.
That's always been the case. Hey, TikTok's always had it sort of they had their nose ahead there.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. I just don't see how this is going to pan out in America. I don't see how politicians in America don't see how this is really quite a dumb thing constituent wise.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
These are your voters here.
But like, I'll ask again. Like, what's at the heart of this? What's at risk? I know government
influence
devices
and data. I don't know. That's all I can see.
I know there's an election. I wonder if this wasn't an election year, whether they'd be talking about this right now. Do you think the fact that it's an election year that this could be a factor?
Mate, you know, the fact that Trump is, I'm not going to say pro TikTok, but he's certainly not in favor of this ban.
Yeah.
So all Trump's got to do is come out and say, if that bill comes to my desk, I'm not signing it.
Right.
And mate, I'm not saying 170 million people are going to vote for him, but it certainly has some effect on people's thoughts when there's businesses that rely on this thing. You know, there's a lot.
Yeah.
Like and we've talked about this with the Facebook dramas and stuff. Once you invest as an individual, especially as a small business in a platform, and you've got to say, in America, it's very different to here. We don't have the TikTok shop and all that stuff.
Yeah.
There are people that sell merchandise and products through TikTok, like literally it's their e-commerce platform.
Yeah.
We don't have that yet.
Right.
So,
but do they cut it in the US? Can you do it in
the US? In the US, it's big.
Big market.
Like
so
a big market.
You're saying are you people sell stuff on TikTok?
People,
at the moment here, but you can see ads on our one.
Yeah, but it's very different.
It's not the same.
In the UK and the US, like there's a guy, I'm just going to call him a large bloke in America who I think was on reality TV at some point. It might be still. And he does these live streams where he's showing absolute crap products, like cheap ass products. But now and then he's got a phone that's pretty good. And it's like TVSN. But like really,
so that's his channel is,
and it's all like it's on the shop now, and I don't see the links, I don't see anything.
Yeah, right.
I can't look at it. But the UK people are seeing, you know, click to buy, and they're buying, and they're literally activating through the app.
Okay.
And America's got that as well. And that's the economy that would be destroyed by a ban.
Okay.
So are you willing, as a government, it's like saying as a government, you're going to shut down Shopify.
Yeah, right.
Like, no one can use Shopify. Yeah. That's just insanity. But
are people concerned, though, because there's a lot of influencers on TikTok, and that TikTok's their probably business. That's their best platform. Like, yeah, they're on probably on Instagram and on other platforms, but TikTok's their go-to, where they've got the most cut through, the most followers, most
views.
They're
the ones that are worried the most.
They're the ones that be petrified.
I don't know. I get that it's not that big a deal here because our government pretty much dismissed it. Albo pretty much said, look, away. We're not looking at it.
Yeah.
We'd need to see more evidence, and I respect that because
I'm
an evidence man. I've said the start of the Huawei drama all the way through to now, I will stand in the streets and ask for anything to be banned if there's proof that it is being misused, especially our personal data is being accessed or utilized in any way.
Just how much do we know, though? That's the thing. That's my, like, on the surface, I'm thinking, is it much ado about nothing, or is it stuff we don't know? Like with the Huawei stuff, like I've heard things, you've heard things that I never knew until these certain people, insiders, told us stuff. So is it a case of, do they know something we don't know, are they just panicking?
That goes to that the ASIO commissioner dude that came out a few weeks ago about some other drama. There's a point to where you should publicise something.
Yeah.
You know, there's a point to where you should say to the general public, we've made this decision because we believe this, this, and this.
Right.
Okay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think we have, in this day and age, we have the right to know.
That wasn't the case with Huawei. Huawei
not at all.
Was just said, no, we're not going to do it. And it was basically just following America. Like Trump was in power then, so just following America.
And I've seen reports that in the case of the US congressmen and women, they were given a briefing that, frankly, didn't prove anything great. But to some of them, it was outlandish. Because you've got to remember, you're talking to 67-year-old people who think that just having a data center in China might be bad. I don't know what it was, but, you know, it's a different mindset when you don't actually understand the topic you're bloody interested in.
I agree, mate. And you're right. The people making those decisions are not your typical TikTok user.
No.
So far from it.
Anyway, that's been the headlines of the week. And you're listening to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, we know TV season is upon us, and we're seeing LG got off and running last week. We spoke last week
out of the blocks in an Olympic year.
Yeah, so what I've used this phrase a few times this week. The starter's gun has gone off.
Nice.
And off they go. LG out first, out of the blocks with their range of OLED and QNED and lifestyle TVs. Really impressive range.
Yeah.
Samsung came back with an OLED TV.
Just on that same day they came out and said, oh, here's one.
Yeah, so they said, we're here too.
Yeah.
And I think it's the first time that LG have actually come to market in the year with their new models.
Yeah, so, beat them out of the box. Yeah, that's right.
And so you found that Samsung TVs are already out on being available for pre-order.
And EFGM podcast listeners will know I discovered this in real time when I had a caller going, I want a new TV. And this was awesome. He was a great caller.
Yeah.
It's already on it. It's already available to listen to. He was a 15-year-old Panasonic working well, but they're doing renos. So he's like, I'll get a new TV. And I love it when he says, just, you know what, I want to know what the best is. So take me to the top. And I'm like, okay, Samsung, Neo QLED, you got OLEDs at this side. And I'm on the, I always just go to the JB Hi-Fi website because I find it the easiest to filter.
Yep.
Like I'll do it live on air and radio and someone says I want a TV. I go 85-inch, they've got a price. And you can, with a little bit of conversation, you can span out the
You can pad it out a little bit, in other words.
Anyway, so I'm sitting there going, oh, mate, so the 2024... Oh, it's the 2024, and I lost my train of thought. And then I quickly finished the call and then went and dug a bit deeper. So I looked on the – and you can do this now. JB Hi-Fi, search Samsung 2024, and there are 36 televisions listed, and I grabbed all the model names and everything.
Yep.
And so I'll run you through broadly what we can see. There's a 900D Neo QLED 8K range.
Yep.
There's the 800D Neo QLED 8K range.
Yep.
There's a 90D QLED 4K range.
Yep.
There's an 85D Neo QLED 4K range, 95 Neo QLED 4K, and then there's a 90D OLED, the frame, 60D QLED, and the crystal UOLED. So there's like nine different ranges, you would say. Models ranging from 43-inch to 98-inch. Their 98-inch Neo QLED 4K is their most expensive TV at $12,995. But here's what's fascinating. We talked last week about LG bringing down the prices.
Yep.
Samsung looks like they're doing the same. Now, I didn't give the prices for every TV, but I looked at a few.
Yep.
The top of the line Neo QLED 8K, 85 inches, $700 lower at $11,995.
Wow.
The 65-inch version of that is $1,000 less than the respective model last year.
Gee.
Like, that's...
that's solid.
These are big discs. Wow. These are big deals. And it goes all the way through.
This is, you know, Samsung VLG. Ooh, this is kind of Holden versus Ford. This is exactly solid competition.
Yeah.
And if they're... no doubt that the minute they saw LG's pricing, they said, well, we've got to rethink our pricing.
Because inside baseball, they haven't announced a date for their own launch.
No.
I've got no doubt it's in April.
Yeah.
I've got no doubt it's in April. Yeah. That seems like the right time to do it.
Yeah.
So then the question is... is this an accident? Because, by the way, they're on the Samsung website too.
Yeah, okay, well.
Is this an accident, or do you just go, you know what, drip it out so that people... because it's a pre-order listing on JB.
So when, and available when? April.
Doesn't say.
Right, because I think this has been... that's a move. It's a strategic move by Samsung to say, well, I think if you're in the market for a TV and LG are out, people are going to compare. So imagine if people said, okay, on the JB website, I'm going to look at LG's brand new TVs. Yeah. Oh, hang on. Here are Samsung's for pre-order.
Yeah.
Mate, it was done deliberately.
And if you search 2024 on the LG website, you're going to see, you know, LG and Samsung's there. So, I personally think it was a subtle decision to do.
I think that it would have been, listen, we need to have this done ASAP. Yeah. Put up there and put them out. I've never seen that before. Then opt for pre-order because Samsung's normally first.
Right.
Samsung normally comes out about a month or two ahead of LG.
Often you'll see a pre-order because it's been announced, and we know some of the LG TVs are available in April, for example.
Yeah.
So often you will see that.
But most are available right now. You can go
LG,
buy right now.
So the LG 2024 TVs are listed on the JB Hi-Fi website entirely as pre-orders.
LG as well.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
None of them say available now.
Okay.
Interestingly, when I searched LG 2024, there's how many?
So do you think that they're going to
32?
They're going to move up their launch. They're going to move it up.
No. So I think this is just their way of cutting off the search and online.
Yeah.
Search. Okay. Buying style.
Because we haven't been... well, normally we get a press release with all the... and they have an event.
Last week at LG,
we were at Allianz Stadium and they took us through the range and they gave us pricing and it was under embargo and we haven't heard... I haven't heard, seen a release, haven't heard even an event coming up
for
Samsung.
They will just be very... coy about the fact that, you know, oh, you might have already seen some prices out there. They'll say something like that and they'll just keep to their... they'll stick to their guns and they'll have their release schedule. I don't think it'll change.
Because normally we get this information before it goes up online in the stores.
Which is why I wrote a story about it, because for me it's a story that the prices are out before they've been officially released.
There you go.
And I think it's good news for consumers. Good prices.
Yeah.
You know, their non-Neo QLED 85-inch is now $800 less at $3,795.
I wonder, though, you know how normally, you know when prices are released and it's the RRPs?
Yeah.
I wonder, because they're already up on JB, not on Harvey, JB and on Samsung's website.
Yes, as RRPs.
So the pricing, has that stayed this? Is it relative? Have you compared the price of the, let's say, the 98-inch Neo QLED on JB site as in...
as Samsung site? It's $4 difference. So JB's just listed, so they're down. Yeah, exactly.
Because normally how the RRP...
correct. But even so, even LGs are still at RRP. So all the LG TVs on JBs are RRPs.
Right.
They're not. There's no discounts available yet.
Yet.
I think that's because they still want to run out the 2023s as well.
Maybe, yeah. Although, if there's a Samsung TV up to $1,000 cheaper, I'm going to wait for that one.
Yeah, but remember... it's $1,000 cheaper than the one from last year,
one.
A year ago.
Yeah.
It's a year ago, that price. That price is not the same today.
Okay.
So
it was $1,000 cheaper than the RRP a year ago.
Yes. I'm listing my differences at announcement time.
Right.
How different are the prices?
Okay. Well, then you'd expect the other one to drop.
Let's do an example, okay?
Yeah.
85-inch QN90, right? So the QN90.
Yeah, what size?
QN90. Did I say 85 inch? So it'd
be
the C, because last year the letter model number was a C.
Yeah, okay.
85 inch Q90C is $6,795.
Yeah.
And that is $6,495. That's wild.
So what's the difference there?
The 2024 model is less. Cheaper.
Yeah, wow.
doesn't. Yeah, that is wild.
Well, that is aggressive. That's aggressive.
That's super aggressive.
They're coming hard. Coming out hard.
You'd be mad. You basically, now's the time to negotiate on TV
and
they've
not only got the price, they've got images and everything involved, the whole range.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, to be clear, I didn't, out of respect for Samsung, I'm not interested in exposing their entire thing here. I just wanted to get the prices out. I'm not digging into the features because we have covered most of that at CES.
Yep.
They'll still have announcements for us at the launch and obviously we'll find out broadly where things are at. But for me, it's good news because the good news is the story here is TVs are getting bigger and cheaper. In 2024.
Yeah.
Bigger, and it's an Olympic year, so that's good.
Bigger, better, and cheaper.
Great news.
Can't argue with that.
All right. You can find out all those prices at EFTM.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Two Blokes Talking Tech is supported by Arlo. If you want to get your security game, increase your security game, then jump in right now because there is an Easter special with up to 27% off select Arlo products. And this runs through till March 31. So right up until, that's Easter Sunday, I think, March 31. So jump in now because you can find some decent deals here. And we're talking, let's look at the Arlo Pro 5 pack. So you got the Pro 5 has four cameras in the pack. Was $1,099. That's now down to $799. That's 27% off. So the Arlo Pro 5 on its own is down from $329 down to $299. Then when you get down to the Essential range, so, you know, the Essential Spotlight wireless camera down from $159 is now $127. That's 20% off. So this is all through the range. It includes the floodlight camera. That's 30% off. Includes the solar panels as well. Even the smart hub has been reduced. So you've got the whole entire range of the Arlo cameras, including the chimes, including the video doorbell, for up to 27% off. So I think if you're in the market to get into your first security cameras or you want to add to your existing Arlo ecosystem, there has been no better time to buy because you are going to enjoy up to 20% off. There's some, I'm looking here right now, some products up to 36% off. The Pro 4 Spotlight Wireless, the 2-pack, $699 down to $449.
Boom.
36% off. So head over to arlo.com. There's a bargain waiting for you.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Now, are you on the Minister for Communications mailing list, by the way?
I am, actually, yeah.
Oh, well, well done. I'm not. Yeah.
I got the email, but also got because it broke on a Sunday. This story, so I got a call from 7 and 10 to do something, and you got a call naturally from Channel. Did you do something on 9 that day? No, I did it on the Monday.
Yeah, I did it on the Monday.
No, I did. I was on the Sunday night news. 7 came out, Channel 10 as well.
So I'm just saying that because if I was the Minister for Communications, I'd want Two Blokes Talking Tech to both get the press release.
But
anyway,
freaking-lutely, yes.
Luckily, one of the telcos reached out and said, are you covering this? And I went, no, I am now.
Yeah.
anyway.
Yeah, and I know the telco too. Yeah, good on you.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve Perry. Yeah, good on you, mate.
Anyway.
He's on the ball, mate. He's on the ball.
Yeah, no, on the ball and front foot. I appreciate it. Yeah. So I watched how it was covered, and I get it was good on Sunday, but I felt it needed some explanation and some investigation because it's confusing as hell. The story here is broadly that the Minister for Communications has called all three telcos into the headmaster's office and said, we need to talk.
We've got to talk.
I know you were shutting down the 3G mobile network, but you didn't tell me that phones couldn't call 000 after you do. And so she's panicking because there's been a lot of 000 dramas in the last 6 months. Optus's dramas, Optus Telstra outage. Had an outage and that cost a life apparently. Yep. So, you know, of course, it's the right thing to do.
Yep.
But Stephen, 5 years ago, when the switch off of 5G was announced, my mentality, and I think yours, has been, you know, when we're asked or whatever, is switching off, get a 4G phone.
Yeah.
Great. Easy done. But it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Because, in fact, a 4G phone isn't enough. It has to be a 4G phone.
It's got Vault.
With Vaulty, which is... Good luck working out if your phone has that.
Yeah, it's got that stands for Voice over LTE, which is long-term evolution, another name for 4G.
Yeah.
So that is the technology that your phone cuts over to call 000 if there's no 3G available.
That's right, because these phones that are an issue here, and there's 750,000 of them apparently on the networks, basically they're 4G phones, but they're essentially hardwired to use the 3G chip to make the 000 call. I assume because that's a more reliable or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter. That's why they're hardwired to do that. And so to be clear, my understanding is in July, once Telstra turns off the 3G network, if you've got a phone that's 4G but not VoLTE, you'll be able to make calls.
Yeah.
You'll be able to call your friends.
Yeah.
But you won't be able to call 000. And
you
so you won't notice until you need it most.
Exactly.
And that's the worst time
that's
to find
issue.
Out.
That's the real, that's the crux of the issue here is that you won't, unless you check, unless Telstra contact you or Optus contact you, or you go into a store, you won't know until it's too late.
And now I spent ages looking at all the models of phones and it became very clear to me that, in fact, in Apple's, to Apple's credit, because they're not normally first, they were the first with VoLTE in the iPhone 6.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So the iPhone, anything iPhone 5 or whatever.
Yes, gone.
Absolutely. And they are 4G 5C, compatible.
5S.
They won't work on after the switch off.
Likewise, the Galaxy S5.
The 6. Now, the 6 is VoLTE, but there are carrier dependencies. So I'm saying, listen, if you've got an iPhone 5, 6 or 7, Samsung 5, 6 or 7, it is probably time to look at a new one anyway.
Yeah. They're quite old phones.
Google Pixel 3 and onwards. And the problem with your Oppos and Motorolas and TCLs and Nokias is they have so many phones across so many different price brackets that you just can't guarantee. So I'm saying broadly, if your phone is 5 years old or more, you at very least need to check. Well, secondly, it's probably worth investing in something new. But remember, as we always say, you don't need an iPhone 15 Pro Max here.
No.
Okay? A basic Nokia, Oppo, Motorola at $200, $300 will be a phone that will last you another 5 years easily.
And I reckon, and I mentioned this on the Tech Guide podcast, I reckon you need to check in on parents, grandparents,
100%.
Other people who maybe don't understand. You don't want them to be left out.
People that are complacent because their phone works. Yeah. It is 4G.
Yeah,
they've heard about this.
Here. That's the catch.
Yes.
I think is that my phone still makes 4G calls, but when it comes down to it, it's not going to make the call that you really need.
Yeah,
000 because of this VoLTE issue.
We need to look out for people in society close to us or otherwise.
Do a check.
Who may be affected by this because that's as simple as it is. You know, it's life. Saving check that you could make. And let's be real, if your phone is 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, it is probably a good time to upgrade now because, you know, the apps that we use now, whether it's your driver's license or checking into somewhere, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just going to be a little bit easier with a more modern phone, and we are not requiring you to buy a really expensive phone.
You don't have to buy
phone.
The latest and greatest. You can buy a refurbished iPhone. You can buy an iPhone 8.
You could buy a Motorola G84 for $360. You know, like it doesn't have to be much.
It's worth looking at. And I think that I said this when I was on the news too. I think they've got a duty of care. I think the telcos have a duty of care here to reach out to customers as
and
well.
And they
just
are.
Let
Let's
them
be
know.
Real. Yeah, Telstra
they've
is contacting
they've created
people.
A working group, I think is what they've called, the government working group with the telcos.
Good on you, Minister. But Telstra's already been SMSing and emailing the people who are affected. And let's be real. They're not SMSing everyone. They're able to go, okay, segment the network and go, show me non-VoLTE phones, send them all an SMS. And they have been.
Now,
so if you've been getting those messages, if your mum, your grandparents, your neighbours been getting those messages and thinking they're spam or scam or whatever.
It's not.
They're not.
I've got a question. Vodafone's already shut down.
Yeah.
So if I had one of these devices, would that just cut over to Telstra?
Because
it still exists in
here's
3G.
Here's the tricky thing. Vodafone on 3G has a roaming agreement with Optus.
Ah.
Okay, and has done for many years.
So if I ring 000
so
with
you
one
really
of these,
you won't even notice that Vodafone's 3G shut down. I was driving through the country and saw 3G and I thought Optus.
Yeah, I've done that too.
It doesn't say Optus.
In my
it's
house.
Just they have failover essentially in roaming areas. So
but once it's shut down,
it was
a June 30
for Telstra, September, end
Optus.
Of September for Optus.
So once that's gone, then these and they listed 25 devices on the press release. I think they sent out, and so once 3G is gone, these phones will still work on the network.
They'll
but
still
not,
do data,
not be able to ring 000. Yeah, they so data and calls, but
you
no
won't
000.
Even know.
Yeah,
until you
that's
need it.
That's the scary part because if unless you're hearing what we're talking about. And you have a phone like this and you ring 000, you're not going to get through.
Yeah. So reach out to people around you. We know that you're the tech savvy one in the family and in the neighborhood because you're watching and listening to this. We know. So make sure you take that responsibility and just help other people at this point in time because we don't want someone to find out the last minute.
They should do it like a community service announcement, like put it on television or radio. Do radio.
Who could they use for that messaging?
I don't know, Triff. maybe they can use the two blokes.
Let's do it now. G'day, Trevor Long here.
Stephen Fennick.
And we want to tell you that after June 30 and in September with Optus customers, 3G will be switching off.
So that means if you have a device that's more than 5 years old and there is a list of them to look at, you may not be able to ring 000. It may seem the same. You may be able to ring your make 4G calls, but 000, I'm afraid you're not going to get through.
Check now and check in on your friends and family. Have they got a phone that will work after the 3G switch off? You can speak to your telco and find out all the information. Stay safe. Post the 3G switch off.
Check your phone now.
I mean, it was pretty good as an ad lib.
Boom.
I think we could probably shape it up a bit.
Maybe, I think.
But yeah, I mean, maybe. We'll clip that together and let's get that to the minister.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
Is that on the house or what?
You know what I'm saying?
Do we need to send invoices or what?
Please. There's government spending here.
Yeah.
And you know what?
We're happy to do the campaign for you.
Let me tell you. Right? Let me tell you. You can't just run these ads in digital. Like, you can't run them on the stream. It's got to be full prime time during the 9 News, 7 News, 10 News. It's got to be everything.
I agree. Let's put it out there. We're available if you want to make us. We're going to get the message out.
No one's going to listen to a politician say it, and no one gives a rat's when the telcos say it.
Yeah.
Needs to be independent.
We can make a funny little clip. We do a funny little thing.
Have we got anyone that can script that for us? Anyone that works in copy with a bit of – we wouldn't mind a bit of humour.
I could write it, mate. I'll back myself.
Okay, I'm looking for someone with a bit of humour.
Got plenty, mate. We'll be right.
Plenty of humour?
Yes.
All right. I know he's got plenty. Doing very well. Two Blokes Talking Tech and doing community service announcements.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, Trev. I've got to say, I've had – what prompted me to write this story was the number of people contacting me at Tech Guide asking about the new iPads.
Right.
iPad Pro, iPad Air, just an iPad.
Right.
And it's kind of getting to that time of the year
where it does feel like we're long in the tooth.
Would you for new iPads? And word has it that the new iPad Pros are going to be announced before the end of the month.
Wait. Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
It's not going to be an event.
No event. No, okay, there won't
good,
be an event.
Because I'm currently grounded.
No, there's no event. It'll be I hope there is an event now because I'll be able to go and you won't. So, yeah, anyway. Trevor's at his wings clipped.
I'm going to need Oprah to call.
Right. So, word is that they're going to be announced before the end of March.
Yep.
And we're talking iPad Pros with M3.
That's like next week.
Yes. Well, it's mid to late March now. So, announced in late March. But going on sale, available in April sometime.
Yeah.
And we're talking M3 with the iPad Pro.
Yep.
OLED screens, so could potentially be slightly thinner design. Rumours suggest that there's going to be a new rear camera design.
Mm-hmm.
So the bump is going to change. And they may even have MagSafe wireless charging. The new iPads as
on
well.
On an iPad?
So imagine an iPad with MagSafe. Imagine the stand you can buy for an iPad with MagSafe.
Yeah. It would need amazing. To be a stronger MagSafe.
Well, it's magnetic. It's pretty good.
Bigger?
Yeah.
No, mate. MagSafe with an iPad, they're heavy.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Whether it's is it going to be like that kind of...
you mean
what
for
do
charging?
You call that? Yeah. So
magnetic attach.
Is that MagSafe?
I don't think they call it that, do they? Yeah. Jesus.
So then you plug it in like that, or potentially that could be it is what they're talking about.
You know, wouldn't that be wild if Apple moved away from USB-C
and just went MagSafe
on their iPad Pros and,
boom!
Went to their Mac? Like,
yeah.
But the thing is, and maybe they get away with it because these can be charged via USB-C.
Yeah.
A MacBook can be charged via USB-C. So the alternative exists.
But I don't think that. They'll stick with USB-C.
No, they'll stick with USB-C.
But I mean on the back of it.
Yeah.
The other big change,
yeah,
if the rumours are correct, is that the camera placement is going to be landscape-oriented. So if you hold an iPad right now, and hang on, I've got one right here.
Here's one I prepared earlier.
If you have your iPad right now.
You can see
now,
the cameras.
You can see it at the top. So the camera's at the top here.
Right.
Right. So word is the camera's going to be repositioned here.
Okay.
So you can... It's sort of better because you make FaceTime calls landscape.
That's true.
Most of the time on an iPad. So positioning it landscape oriented means that it's rather than the camera trying to center you from over here, it's going to center you from there, like a laptop.
This is groundbreaking.
So these are the rumors. Rumors also that the iPad Air.
I can see why they're not having an event.
The iPad Air is also going to have an update. iPad Air with M2 still. LCD screen, so they're going to keep OLED for the premium, the iPad Pro. But 12.9-inch iPad Air. So if you don't want to go all the way to the Pro, you still got a chance of having a large screen iPad for the iPad Air. No word on what the iPad is going to happen. The 11th gen. Whether that's going to have a large version, I doubt it. They'll probably keep it at the, 10.2-inch all screen now. So home buttons are gone on the iPad.
I just bought a new iPad Mini for my, DiGiro setup.
Yep.
I still think that's the best iPad.
Yeah.
So good. It's everything
Isn't
you
need. Isn't that more expensive than
yes,
the Air?
It's more expensive than the 10th gen.
The 10th gen, yeah.
It's
wild. And it's smaller.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I struggled with that.
But it's got a better
purchase.
Processor. It's got a faster processor.
Does it?
Yeah, it has.
But more got like Air-like processor.
Better than the iPad on its own. Yeah.
I don't think that justifies it, to be honest.
Yeah. Can I ask, though? Why? Yeah. I know they say iPad 11th generation, but they don't call it the iPad 11.
No, it's called
But they
iPad.
Call it the iPhone 16.
Yeah.
Why don't they do that with iPad? Why don't they put a number on it like they do
with
the
iPhone? More importantly, why don't they take the number away from iPhone?
Yeah, that's probably going to happen.
Has to. We talked about this coming
iPhone,
into the... Remember when we were talking about the 11? I said it should be called the Apollo.
Yeah.
They should come up with new...
Yeah.
New naming nomenclature.
I think that it's going to have to be... it's going to sound silly, like the iPhone's 47. Like, what are they... We're going to be very old, when that comes out. But why don't they just simplify? Apple's a typical company that just streamlines and simplifies things.
What have we committed to with this podcast? We've committed to getting to
20 years.
20 years. So 20 we've got seven years. More years in us.
Yes. Come on. Can't wait. Can't wait. Countdown is on.
So that means we're going to get to the iPhone 22, 23.
23, yeah.
Does that sound horrible?
Yeah. It does. iPhone, because I'll tell you why. iPhone 23, by then, Samsung will be up to the iPhone 34. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be higher. Samsung's got the S24 now, and it's the iPhone
That's because they
16.
Pivoted to 20 at the at 2020.
They
that was a smart move.
To 20. There was no 11, was
no.
there?
Well, there's also no iPhone 9, but anyway, let's not get into that.
Yeah, I don't know why. What's up with 9? Microsoft
Windows
9 as well. Mm. Yeah, what happened with that? Is that like bad luck or something or what? Is that like a
no idea
a Silicon Valley thing or
don't know
no idea
okay. Anyway,
because I know 8 is a lucky number in certain cultures.
Yep.
Yeah, but anyway, iPad. That's what's happening. iPad Pro, iPad
Air. Just announce it with
and
a press
possibly
release.
A new Apple Pencil that's compatible with the OLED screen.
I can't find my Apple Pencil second gen.
Yeah, I've got a couple to find as well.
They're not the
it's
easiest.
Like finding a needle in a haystack.
Yeah, mate. Downstairs here is a haystack.
Yes.
All right. And there's a bloody pencil down there somewhere, or it's in one of my office at
and
home.
And you can't
is a
use
bit of a nightmare
can you use
well.
Find My on a pencil? Apple
no,
pencil?
That
damn
wow!
Come on, Find My on Apple Pencil. Come on,
Apple Pencil 3 with Find My.
There we go. I think we've got a breakthrough.
Do you know
here.
What we could do? What if we could, like, publish around the same time that rumor?
Yeah,
like EFTM understands. Tech God understands. And we just publish it. We'll mock up an image and see if it goes
viral. Yeah, Apple Pencil with Find. That makes sense. If they can fit if they can fit it in an AirTag, you could surely fit it in Apple Pencil.
Why not? Well, there's no Bluetooth. That's why.
Yeah, there is.
It's not Bluetooth. Isn't it a proprietary connection?
How does it connect there?
No, but I thought it was some sort of proprietary.
Yeah, it's Bluetooth.
Okay, well, let's go.
Well, yeah.
It'd be bad for battery.
Discuss more offline. Yeah, but you can stick it on the side of the iPad. It's going to charge.
I've never done that in my life.
I do it all the time.
Honestly,
all the time I just
don't use the bloody things.
I use them occasionally.
Yeah,
but stick them on the side of the iPad. Oh, the iPad Air and the iPad Pro does that. It says the iPad.
Listen,
I don't think the iPad does that.
Listen, all of you, right now, if I log on next week and find Mac Rumors talking about an iPad, Apple Pencil
with
Find My, and it doesn't credit Two Blokes Talking Tech, I will come and get you.
Serious. There you go. So Find My and Apple Pencil.
There it is.
Look, hope Apple are listening. That's definitely going to be a future product.
It's official.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
And if you need home Wi-Fi, there's no point having a great... Oh, just crack a can. He's cracked a can and spilt it. You
Damn
are
it.
A disgrace.
Damn it.
Look at you. Okay? No amount of high-speed Wi-Fi Hang on.
Lucky you've got a hanky.
Oh, mate. No, use paper towel. Don't waste your hanky. Anyway, no amount of high-speed internet can help you if your Wi-Fi is rubbish, okay? If you've got the modem that was provided by your internet provider 6-7 years ago, move on, folks. Upgrade your speed, upgrade your Wi-Fi, upgrade your home network because you are a disgrace, Stephen, honestly. It's like I'm doing a live read here and you just don't care.
I know. I do care, mate. Go on. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're doing a great job.
The Orbi range, the Nighthawk range, there's plenty to offer there. Stop it. Wi-Fi 6E available on the 960 quad band Orbi, and you can get it in black on the Netgear website.
They told me you never had the black one. They said that was only for that. They only said that to me.
Mine's got like an embossed EFTM logo, doesn't yours?
No, it's not. It hasn't. Wow. Mine's gold plated. They sent me the gold plated version.
Mine's got Patrick Lowe's signature on the back.
Okay, wow. That makes it a collector's item then.
Well, Patrick good on Lowe, him. What a legend.
Founder and former CEO? Is he still CEO?
I think he stepped down as CEO. Okay. He's just
founder, Patrick. He's just visionary. I've interviewed him several times on the podcast over the year.
Same.
Nice bloke.
Great bloke. Yeah. And we respect everything he does and everything he did for Netgear. Yeah. If you want home Wi-Fi improved, go to netgear.com.au.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, what a week. Couldn't get a McFlurry on Saturday night. It was outrageous.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I remember getting up. I was in Brisbane on the weekend, so I was an hour behind, right? Had to get up early. Because this happened, what, on a Friday afternoon, didn't it? Friday arvo?
I thought it was Saturday. Oh, no, it was Friday. It was Friday.
Here's me. I'm in Brisbane. Went to watch South play at Suncorp. Got home. Wrote my report, which was pretty bagging the team. Went to bed. Woke up early for Sky News, because it was an hour behind. And they said, you reckon you're talking about the McDonald's outage? And I went, What happened? And I'm quickly Googling stuff and
EFTM.com.
Yeah, and this was like 6:30 in the morning, Brisbane time. I'm thinking, no problem. I'll be able to talk about that. And that's what we did. Yeah.
So,
and at first I thought McDonald's outage is what happened. Their Sunday machines broke down or something.
Exactly. Like, their machines break all the time. Yeah. It's like they're forced to. But it was fascinating because I discovered early that it wasn't just, the payment system. It wasn't just their FPOS terminals. It was anything that was a computer in their restaurants and at head office.
Yeah.
And then we quickly discovered New Zealand, UK,
Japan,
Singapore. It was almost global. I don't believe it affected the US, but it was midnight in the US that it happened. So perhaps it was only the 24 hours and perhaps it didn't get as widely reported.
And what was the first thing?
What was
the first thing we thought?
Cyber attack.
We thought it was a cyber attack.
And McDonald's was pretty quick to dismiss that on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
And their global chief technology officer came out on Saturday morning and sent a message, and it was posted online to all of their franchisees and employees, saying that it was the result of a software or a third-party configuration error.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, isn't it what?
Isn't that what happened to Optus? Software
broadly,
update?
Yeah.
What is it with these software updates?
Yeah.
So violent.
Who's
what
making
happens?
Configuration errors? Now, it makes sense because it happened at midnight in the US.
Yes.
So they've gone, we'll change this. But then, mate, I don't run a very big business, but when I have worked at large organisations, they have a thing called risk management. And you go, rightio, if this went wrong, what would happen? And what's our business continuity plan, our BCP?
Yep.
And what's our disaster recovery, our DR? These are simple, common terms that if I know, McDonald's should know. So let me ask you this. How is it possible that one third party makes one configuration change and globally they have a problem?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a few people called into the principal's office over that one.
I bet you any money.
And so how long was it out for? The outage lasted
around 3 hours.
And so there were signs. I saw pictures on social media, signs up in stores, can't sell food, can't do anything, computer systems down.
Some stores seem to have gotten by in some way like, for example, I was told that the McThornley was accepting cash. See, there's a lot of narcs on the internet as well going, this is another reason not to go cashless. Mate, it's not the cash or the credit cards that was a problem. It's the fact that the bloke behind the counter doesn't know how much a Big Mac is.
Yeah.
Do you know how much a Big Mac is?
Is it $5.29 or something?
Jesus Christ, you do not. Yeah. Well, I don't know. And so
I'm guessing. It's around that.
Are you expecting, you know, if you walk in and go, I want a Big Mac, large fries, chocolate shake, and an apple pie, your best, then you're expecting the teenager behind the counter not only to know the price, but to add it up on the fly and work out how to open the cash drawer without a computer working. Security, like, let's be real. It's not a cash thing.
But
it's an IT thing.
But it is very much just goes to show that how much of the reliability of the technology.
Of course. But, you know, it also, I would say that McDonald's globally is going to have a massive investment in technology in the next 12 months because they're going to get business cases now for new levels of redundancy, new levels of backup links and all these kind of things so that it doesn't happen again.
I need to look on the app.
Oh, of course. You got the Macca's app, have you?
Oh, I think it's in there somewhere.
Isn't that interesting?
Can I tell you? I have not had McDonald's for, I reckon, 8 months.
Due to my commitment to the cause, I went to Thornleigh Macca's on Saturday morning and bought 2 bacon and egg McMuffins. One of which I absolutely smashed. The other one I kept and used on air to prove that McDonald's was working.
It's back up and running.
I thought it was a stroke of genius, frankly.
I don't have the McDonald's app on my phone.
That's unbelievable. Neither do I. Yeah. Yeah.
Of course you don't.
No, I've got the Android phone. I wouldn't have it on there.
Oh, okay.
I did use the Macca's app back in the day.
$5. It's about $5.
Or a meal?
Just the burger. If you just want to buy the burger by itself, it's about $5 something. A cheeseburger is like $2.95.
Junior burger used to be like $1, and a cheeseburger is $1.20.
Nah, cheeseburger is about $3. McFlurry. Or $4.
McFlurry launched, and I can tell you, they must have launched in 98 or 99 because I was in Perth, maybe 2000. McFlurry was $2.50 when it launched.
Yeah. Apple pie, I think.
What is it now?
$2.99 apple pie.
Just two old blokes talking inflation.
Yeah. And has the Big Mac got smaller, you reckon?
Never had one. I've had to order many. Mac without meat, I have to order sometimes when my wife wants one. But
oh, my God. You've never had a Big Mac?
No.
In your life?
No.
Really?
No. I'm a cheeseburger man. I take the pickles off.
Wow. Because
I don't want 2 all beef patties, yes. 2 all beef patties, yes.
Special sauce.
Special sauce,
lettuce,
no.
Lettuce,
yes.
Cheese
pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun. Mate, just give me a cheeseburger.
I can't believe you've not had a Big Mac in your life.
Give me a double cheeseburger and I'm in.
Wow. Okay. There was a guy that every year he comes up, he's had a Big Mac every day.
Yes.
This guy with long hair. But Big Mac, is the argument that it's gotten smaller or is the argument that we've gotten bigger and the Big Mac has stayed the same size? You're a kid, 100%. Everything's bigger?
Yeah.
You know? I think it's shrunk over the years.
Right,
I think it has.
I think the patties are still the same size.
I don't know. It seems smaller.
Bring back the polystyrene boxes. Remember those?
I do, yeah, where they used to unclip it.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Bring back the plastic straws because those paper things
are
complete and utter waste of time.
They're rubbish. I'm going to have to carry around a metal straw.
Because the other morning I bought an orange juice. I'm going to look like an idiot just buying muffins, so I bought an orange juice.
Yep.
And I was just sitting on the desk, and I'm like half an hour later, I thought I'd have another sip. I think I just sipped cardboard.
It's the stupidest
thing in the history of the world.
I'll tell you now, McDonald's straws, the plastic straws.
Yeah. Best.
Were the best. You know why? Because I used to, this is what me and my mates used to do.
Yeah.
You grab them from each end, right? You can produce
the best flickers, is that what you're saying?
So you grab it from each end and seal it, and then you wind
it up and
then
flick
it builds the air and goes, pew, it's like a gunshot, thing. Yeah. Have you done that, have you? Proves we're both idiots then.
I think that's what it proves.
Oh, man. And I suggest, it would be that good that if you get it right, you can actually snap the straw in half.
Yeah,
break in half.
Yeah.
I've caused a few people to turn around and thinking, what the hell was that?
You know, you wouldn't do that in America. Don't do that at a Macca's in America. That's why it doesn't happen over there.
Well, that's why they went to paper straws, I reckon.
Probably.
That's
it's not about the turtles. One it's of about the gunshots.
But you've done that as well.
100%.
I've probably done it with you. I think I was with you a few times. I've done it with you.
We had Macca's in Taiwan once.
Yeah, come on.
Didn't we?
And you go, yeah, I think so. We went to McDonald's. Yeah, I think we were in.
I think
was it
in Taiwan?
Yeah. Even in the States we've
been. Really struggling. I've had Macca's in the States once, and it was in January 2012.
It tasted
my first
exactly
CES.
The same.
No, it was horrible because.
What?
The burger was the same, but I got a chocolate shake and it was had cream on top and all this. I'm like, Jesus Christ, can I just have a shake?
No, but the food is the same.
The food
burger.
Was the same,
yeah. Was like it was cooked in Australia.
You know what I'm having for dinner tonight? Jesus Christ, what are you doing to me?
Are you really?
You're making me.
So you're off, mate. Off tap then, aren't you now? Then if you have a Macca's
the tap
midweek.
The tap was turned off a while ago.
I've tried to be good. I'm staying good.
I've been pretty bad.
Oh. Yeah. So you're off the track now.
Yeah, I'll get back. I'm coming back.
So the Macca's outage really tipped you over the edge of it. It tipped you over the edge.
No, it was before that. Anyway, that's all I've got. Oh, the other thing, Telstra went down as well. Telstra went down for 3 hours.
Okay.
So I'm getting, again, I'm not with Telstra, so I get a text from 3AW going,
I've thought it was something so dirty I could have said then. Anything going down for 3 hours is not bad.
Stop it! Anyway, Jesus.
Did I just
so
say
I get
that?
A text from, yes, did I, think I get that? A text from 3AW going, can you talk about the Telstra outage? And I'm like,
sure.
Seconds later, I get a text from Telstra going, right. Just so you know, here's what we're saying.
That was me on McDonald's outage on Sky. I'm thinking, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And look, it was a quick outage, 3 hours. It was only selected phone calls. It wasn't everyone, but it was a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
Your data still worked. So it wasn't the end of the world. It was a software update went wrong. Why did you do a software update at midday?
What is it with these software updates?
Well, they happen all the time.
I know, but why are they potentially going to knock you off the network?
Because someone's not checking them properly.
Wow. But I reckon, you know what? Telstra. Memo, software updates, triple check them, please.
Midnight or only, whatever. Please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McDonald's was a software update too, you said, in
America. No, it said it was a third-party configuration change, right. Which is a software update. But here's the thing. I think Telstra got off lightly. I really do.
Yeah.
Because
data still
now, works. To be clear, they also said that 000, according to them, was still working too.
Right.
But, mate, another 3 hours,
yeah.
That's headline news, but it really did get just quick voiceover mention. It was very low.
But data still worked.
Yeah.
So you could still pay for stuff.
Yeah.
So no biggie.
Yeah, no biggie, but still, it's a failure.
Well, because so what can you do? Calls.
Calls.
Text, still text?
Yep.
And still, I don't know. Still connect data?
I confirm, yep.
So, like, you know, how many of their customers are calling people?
Yeah, but when you want to call,
I understand, but I think that the fact that the data still worked and everything else still worked was no biggie.
Okay, it's official. They get off with a rose-coloured glasses.
And it was
on
only 3 hours. 3 hours?
Only 3 hours.
Affected everyone?
Just 3 hours. You couldn't ring your family.
Everyone, though? Or was it every state?
It was
just
national, for sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they said it wasn't everyone.
Okay. Well, it wasn't me because I'm not a Telstra customer.
Nope.
Wow.
Anyway, two big outages this week, and we didn't leave with them. Aren't you excited?
Two big outages.
Both of them got off.
And Optus wasn't involved either.
Oh, well done, Optus.
They're doing cartwheels right now. Do you reckon they're thinking, McDonald's outage, Telstra outage. See, it happens to everyone.
No, you know what they're doing? They're going, cyber attack.
<Come on. laughs> They had a little book running. Two to five to two.
Just desperate for someone else to get a... Wow. They just want someone to get a million people's records stolen so that they're not the biggest.
Yeah, it happened. Medicare. Medibank private. Medibank.
Was that a million?
Medibank.
11 million?
It was more than 12. So that did happen. Yeah. Medibank.
Okay, the outage, but it was the outage. They need someone to have their whole business fail for more than a day.
Yeah.
Because Optus' business failed for a day.
Was it that long?
It was a whole day.
It wasn't 24 hours.
No, it was 4 a.m. until about 3 p.m. Yeah, that's a day.
That's 11 hours.
That's a day.
Yeah.
I don't know when you work, but that's a day.
Yeah, a work day.
Yeah, okay.
Work
it's
day.
A day.
All right.
I don't need my... Mate.
Yeah, no.
The Optus network, if I was a customer, could go down between midnight and 4 a.m. I couldn't give a rat's.
Yeah.
Some would.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay, then.
Thanks for your support. Great to have your company.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Can I just make a recommendation? Don't donate to charity.
What?
You get so many emails.
Yeah, you know what? I'm with you there, but you know what I did? I donated to, what was it, the Victor Chang Foundation?
Yeah, that's what I just got an email
Victor
for.
Victor Chang. And they were, because I donated and didn't click to receive, I had to put my address in there. So what I was getting were letters.
Yeah, I'm still getting letters,
mail.
Too.
And I emailed them. I said, look, please stop sending me mail.
Oh, did you?
And they said, yeah, no problem. And do you want to receive it by email? I said, I'd rather just hit me on email rather than me receiving
it. Again, this is probably a conversation for the private. But, yeah, I did a bunch last year. I did a thing, it was 12 days, maybe the year before last, 12 days of giving before Christmas, and I got the audience, the EFTM and the Man Cave to choose charities, right? It's good fun. It was nice. Yep. 12, excellent. But those 12 charities now send me letters, emails, and it's really hard to click unsubscribe on an email.
On the email, it's hard to do. It's morally hard, right?
Yeah. Because I know it's going
to
hit hard.
I switch for the mail. I'm thinking, come on, I don't want to have to shred these things. I want to just send me an email rather than
Anyway, Two Blokes Talking Tech. We'll be back again next week with episode 626. Are you excited? Six. What a number.
Can't wait.
Wow.
626.
I'm confident the sponsors next week will be Netgear and Arlo.
Yes,
because they've been with us for a very long time. We appreciate their support.
Support them.
And we appreciate
your support. Support them as
That's
well.
That's all we ask. And it's not a bad thing because they're bloody good products.
Do that.
All right, Stephen. See you next week.
Take care, mate.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Pretty sure I played the same sting twice in a row there.
Yeah, the amateur hour.
Apologies, everyone. Goodbye.